Okay, so hello and welcome back. And honestly, a lot has happened since the last time we chatted. My last episode, I had obviously Hannah on. We were just launching our 8-week Rediscovering You. If you don't know, get to know. We are currently in actually week 2 of Rediscovering You. We just finished it because it's now Sunday. And this week was all around relationship with food, how to heal your relationship with food, how to overcome binging, how to overcome emotional eating, how to deal with your emotions. And yeah, just becoming a little bit more self-aware. But a lot has happened. If you follow me on Instagram, you will know that I think we probably maybe chatted about it in the last episode, I'm not sure, but we rescued obviously a little kitten and we named him Chili. And yeah, I just feel like they always say, you know, cats choose you. Sorry if I get emotional, because I can't explain it. Like, if you're a cat person or an animal person in general, you will understand, you will get it. But yeah, they say cats choose you, and I found him in the middle of the road back in June, and I just couldn't leave him. So I took him with me. We got him all healed, all patched up. He did have a lot of issues, like obviously from just being out on the roads and being so young and like malnourished, but he started to really come around. He had like a personality. He was just like a different kitten, like from the kitten that I took off the road to the kitten that then, you know, within a week his personality had just like formed. He was happy, he was bubbly, he was jumping around, he started learning how to climb things in the villa. Sorry, this isn't going to be an episode about a kitten, I promise, but yeah, I just wanted to update you guys. But yeah, it was a bit of a roller coaster. Like, every so often, you know, something would crop up with his health. Yeah, there was a few different things, but back like on the 12th of July he got sick. He had like diarrhea and vomiting, and to be honest, we just thought it was something within his tummy. But when we did bring him to the vets, the way they were speaking was like that he had like something in his he just like had bacteria, so we gave him an antibiotic. But it turned out he actually had like a virus. It's called FVP. But yeah, he had a virus, and honestly he was fine after we gave him the antibiotic. He was taken away because, again, he at that time they were saying he obviously only had something in his gut that was causing these issues. And anyways, he was brand new after that. Everything was normal. He was just amazing. Basically, he was just actually amazing. So we were like, lovely, he's, you know, he's healthy, he's whatever. And then, like, honestly, within a day, he just took a massive, massive turn. He was getting sick, he had diarrhea again. We had to put him overnight, and he was on like a drip and stuff like that. And we just thought, like, I just thought, because he had survived so much, like, I just wasn't expecting him to obviously pass away. So that's like the shocker here. That's the climax, guys, is that he actually passed away. He passed away earlier this week, and yeah, it was like within a day. He didn't even last a day. And yeah, it hit me like a ton of bricks. And I don't know if it's because we were taking care of him, but he felt like my little child. And I don't know if it was like a metaphor for me taking care of my inner child. Like, he came at such a time that I did never expect him to come. Like, I never expected to be taking care of an animal while I was on holidays in Bali. Like, that's not what I want. Like, that's actually not what I wanted for myself. Like, I never envisioned that for myself. I was like, I'm having a hot girl summer, and I ended up having a kitten summer. Yeah, and it was just like, at the start, I could see how inconvenient it was. Like, or inconvenient, sorry, unconvenient, that's not even a word, how inconvenient it was for me, because I found myself just like, you don't realize how self-absorbed you are in your own life, and like what way you want your day to go. So like, when we first got the kitten, I would have a plan about my day, but then like we'd have to take care of him, we'd have to be here every couple of hours. And I, like, in the grand scheme of things, like, I would do that 10 times over now because of the relationship that I ended up having with Chili. But like, at the start, I could see how self-absorbed, and I'm not actually like, I would say I'm a very caring and thoughtful person, but I think when it came to like, obviously I'm away, I didn't obviously expect this, it like threw a spanner in the work. So I was kind of like, this is like inconvenient for me to be taking care of this kitten. Like, we need to be able to give him to a family, or we need to give him to someone. Like, that was my plan when we first got him, was like, we're gonna get him healthy, but then we're gonna give him to someone. And yeah, I just got severely attached, and I absolutely loved him. Like, genuinely, I loved him. And yeah, it just like, I don't know, like, I'm not embarrassed for feeling so deeply. I think I was a bit this week, because I was like, I just couldn't stop crying. And every time I think of him, I just like keep crying, and it gets me so emotional. So I'm surprised I'm holding it together in this episode. But we just collected his ashes today, so we really wanted to have a part of him with us. But yeah, I just think it was such a metaphor for something a lot bigger, I think, in my life. And that's not to say that's only what he was. Like, he just came in, he showed me the ability to be so compassionate towards something other than myself. I can't explain it, but to show care and compassion for something beyond myself, but to also be willing to sacrifice whatever it done to my days or how it inconvenienced me. That's not even a word, but you know what I'm trying to say. Yeah, like how much of it felt like an inconvenience. I was able to put all of that to the side because I just wanted to take care of this little animal because he had nobody else to take care of him. And yeah, it taught me some amazing things. I'm sure I will continue to talk about it because I feel like I'm feeling a lot of grief this week. It has just been, genuinely, it has been a week. Anyways, that was 6 minutes of me talking about the kitten, but I hope you all love Chili. Everybody text back to my story. I thank you so much, honestly, for all of the love. I really do appreciate it. But this week's episode, if I could ever get to it, is actually all around attaching to labels, okay? So I feel like you are going to feel the passion through this podcast episode, okay? Because I've spent, usually when I spend a good couple of days talking about this with multiple people, I always think of it as a sign to then record an episode on it. I have spent this week talking with many, many clients about this attaching to labels. I find we attach to labels as a way to, I think it's usually a way to feel safe, to feel a part of something. It's easy to identify with something like, hi, I'm Kira, I'm somebody who helps people with their relationship with food. Like, that's my niche, but that's also a big part of my identity. So even as I've been going through shifts in my own life and I'm trying to not transition, like I'm still going to be working with relationship with food. I love doing that. It lights me up. But the more that I grow as a person and in my own journey, the more that my business is just an extension of me. So the more that my business starts to change. But I noticed even when I tried to get into a relationship with food the very first time, and I was transitioning from just a fat loss coach into a relationship with food coach, I found it so difficult. And it doesn't need to be that difficult. It's like, I can do what I want, we can all do what we want, but we keep ourselves trapped in these identities and then feel stuck by them. And I know I definitely done that, because getting into a relationship with food felt like the hardest thing ever. It felt like you couldn't possibly transition into that. Like, what do you mean you're gonna do that because you're this type of person? And I've seen this come up so much with clients in black or white thinking, all or nothing thinking. And what exactly does attaching to labels do? So I personally believe it keeps you trapped in an identity, and especially when you start to change as a person, which we all do, we grow, we evolve, we change, that's the cycle of fucking life. It keeps you trapped in an old identity, and it keeps you behaving with that old identity. So you'll hear people obviously talking about they'll have to go through letting go of all parts of themselves, letting go of their identity, having ego deaths, because your identity becomes your ego, and it becomes who you are to the world and what way you show up in the world. And we all want to belong to something. It's like belonging to a community. It's so important to us. But think of it, if I stripped away everything, the work, the labels, the promotions, the money you make, all of it, we would feel what are we? What are we worth if we don't have X, Y, and Z? Does that make sense? But I always come back to a beautiful, beautiful saying that I came across before, and it was when a baby obviously comes first out of the womb, as a mother, you love your child. They don't have to do anything, they don't have to perform, they don't have anything coming into this world to be worth anything. You just love them, and you just see them as this, the most precious thing in the world, the most worthy being in the world. And somewhere along the line, we obviously grow up, and it's you get a job, and you get a house, and you get all these things, and you work your way up the ladder, and you want to be successful, and there's nothing wrong with these things, but I think a lot of the times it becomes a part of our identity and who we actually are, rather than recognizing at the core. And I can't even say I'm there, so I'm not speaking here on my high horse, but it's I would love myself to be at a place where I just recognize as a human being, just as Kira, who she is, and in the sense of my characteristics and my traits, is a worthy human being. I don't have to do anything to earn that worth, whereas I find we're constantly chasing, we're constantly wanting to do things, which is great. Ambition is fantastic. I love ambition. I love having ambition myself, but it's the fine line of between not making it your entire worth. It's like the previous episode. It's like when you make your whole entire worth based on your body image, it's a very probably dangerous place to be, because it's a very rocky one. And if these things can be taken away from you, it means that your worth can be taken away from you. And if we're speaking in terms of a baby, you came into this world with worth, you were just worthy as you were, you didn't have to do anything for that. So how is it that it can be eventually, how is it that nowadays it can feel as though it can be taken away from you? Does that make sense? So that was one of them. So it keeps you trapped in an identity, stops you from fully trusting yourself. I'll speak about that a little bit more. Stops you from healing. I personally believe more likely that your thoughts will end up following suit. So if you say to yourself, I always use, this is a great example, but when I work with clients who, let's just say, are dealing with binge eating, and let's just say they've gone, we've done a couple of months of work together, they've overcome binge eating, and then they experience a day where they potentially overeat. Sometimes clients will fall into like, oh my God, I can't believe I overeat. I'm still not in control. These are the things that they'll say to themselves. So they'll attach these like, it's your thoughts, but you're attaching this like idea about yourself that you're not in control anymore. And therefore, because you've experienced binging in the past and being out of control, usually what happens to clients is that they will end up binging again that night with those thoughts and with attaching those things to themselves, because they have convinced themselves that they're not in control. Rather than just being like, it all comes back to self-trust. It's like, no, I just overate. That's all it was. It doesn't have to be this big, massive deal. We don't have to make it into something that it's actually not. And yeah, that's where it comes back to, obviously, self-trust and your thoughts then following suit. So this client has done months now without obviously binging, but because they experienced one night of overeating and it made them feel like, oh, maybe I'm actually not in control anymore. And then they end up obviously completely binging because that thought made them feel as though, again, they were back being a binge eater or back being out of control. So that label of being out of control made them spiral to being out of control then, even though in the first place they weren't. And then I feel like labels, this goes for everything. So this is not just relationship with food. So this week I had a very interesting chat with a client about mental health, but we were talking about like panic attacks and this idea of like when we cry. So I know for me, when I used to cry before I ever went on my own little healing journey, I used to always think as crying being a bad thing, like there was something wrong with me, or I was really sad, or we attached these labels to ourselves. Yeah, so crying for me automatically meant that there was something wrong, or I wasn't happy, or I wasn't a happy person. Whereas now when I cry, I've been crying all this week. Does it mean I'm a sad person? No. Does it mean I'm depressed? No. It just means I'm somebody who's experiencing, like, my nervous system needs somewhere to release and needs a way to release all of the emotions that's going on with me. And think of you on a day-to-day basis, how much you feel on a day-to-day basis, like the emotions that come up for you, even the thoughts that come up for you, because thoughts can create a lot of emotion within you, a lot of feelings. So think of all the feelings that you have on a day-to-day basis. You're telling me that they don't need somewhere to go. They need a way to release, and crying for me has become that way. But back to the conversation I was having with clients, is that she was saying that like every time she would, let's just say, you know, in the past she'd be crying, or she had found herself needing a cry or crying, she would attach that back to previous times where she'd have a panic attack and she wouldn't feel in control. But I was like, yeah, but if you remove that whole idea, so what you're attaching to yourself is that when you cry, it equals panic attack. So now you've made that association. So now every time you cry, you're having the thoughts of like, oh God, is this going to be a panic attack? You're, again, these labels are bringing you back to a past experience. But instead of, obviously, your perspective, instead of coming in with a new perspective, you're just accepting that as your faith almost. And then you're almost encouraging that to happen again because you're overthinking it so much and you're panicking yourself more because you're crying. Whereas what I was saying was that like, yeah, but like, do you not think that you just need to cry and it doesn't need to be this big deal? Like, you just need a way to release your emotions, and like, that's okay, and it doesn't mean that it's going to lead to a panic attack. It doesn't mean that it's going to lead to anything. And the same goes for all the conversations I have about relationship with food. Like, just because you overeat doesn't mean that you're a binger. And like, it's the same for me. Like, there's multiple times a week that I will overeat and I will consciously make that decision. Does that mean I have a bad relationship with food? No. Yeah, does that mean I have a bad relationship of food? No. And a lot of people I have chatted to and worked with, I think I've said this before in a previous episode, but like, you will cause a relapse because of the identity you hold on to. So people have come to me where they're like, oh my God, I was doing so well for the last 5 years and then I recently relapsed with binging. And I'm like, what? Obviously, because I didn't it's not to take away from their experience, but I never experienced a relapse. And I do believe that was down to, number one, the coaching that I got, but also the mindset work that I done, because I don't associate with having an eating disorder or being on the verge of anorexia or being a binge eater anymore. I also don't attach labels to myself in the terms of like, if I eat bad food in quotation marks, I don't be like, oh my God, that's bad. Then that's me associating that label of bad to myself, which then inherently creates this loop of, oh, I feel bad about myself now because I've just had something bad. It must mean that I should feel shit about myself. And then it creates this negative loop then where people spiral with that. But that's what keeps people trapped, is people keep themselves trapped in an identity of like, I was someone or I am someone who has had this. And it keeps them in that identity of struggling with a relationship with food or being a binge eater or the potential of ever relapsing. Whereas when you know how to stop attaching to labels and stop telling yourself that you're something when you're not actually that at all, you will be much better able to then, like, your thoughts will follow suit. So whatever you tell yourself about yourself, your thoughts are automatically going to go that way. So if you say to yourself, you know, you're the worst person in the world for overeating, you're going to feel like the worst person in the world. You're going to create so much guilt, so much shame. And then because you don't know how to process the guilt and the shame, you're then going to turn to more food, which is then overall just a relapse. Whereas when you know, when you stop having labels, the good, the bad labels, the unhealthy, the healthy, the, and you just see it for, like, it just is what it is. Like, that's all it is. It's just like, you're just a person who's eating food, and that's okay. You know, you're a person who's just craving chocolate right now. Doesn't mean it's bad. It just is what it is. The more that you see things from that place, the less likely you are to spiral, the less likely you are to be bombarded with 101 thoughts of like, no, this is who I am, or you're, oh, maybe you're not in control anymore, Kira. Maybe, you know, maybe you overeating is a sign that your relationship with food isn't in a good place. You know, all of these things. And I actually had a very interesting chat a couple of months ago with a really good friend of mine who was like really working on her relationship with food. She went all in on it, you know, she gained weight, all of the things that were necessary for her to heal her relationship with food. And not everybody, before anybody freaks out, not everybody has to gain weight, but for her and her journey, it was necessary, and it was healthy weight, and it suited her body, and it was what it was. But she felt like she had to live in that identity then of being like, no, I have to stay at this weight, and I just have to sit in it, and I shouldn't be thinking of even losing weight. And people do this to themselves all the time. I know I've done it to myself, specifically when I first healed my relationship with food. I felt like it was bad of me to want to lose weight. It felt like I was going against what I had just done, the work that I had just done. But that's exactly what I'm talking about here. That is you living in alignment with a specific label of like, no, I have to be this way because I healed my relationship with food, which must mean, so it's that black or white thinking again, which must mean that I can't ever approach fat loss again. And I sat with her on that call and I was like, it just, you need to let go of all the labels. You need to stop attaching. Like, if you trust yourself, if you know you're in a good place with your relationship with food, why are you even questioning it? Why are you questioning the fact that you're at a place now where you want to lose fat, and that is okay? That's in alignment with your values. It doesn't have to be this big massive thing where it's like, oh no, it must mean this, or it must mean I haven't fully healed. Like, we love to keep ourselves trapped in something, but the minute you take the labels away, the less trapped you become in any identity, and which makes it easier for you to heal, like, your relationship with food, your relationship with yourself, you know, your, even your anxious attachment, your avoidancy, like, whatever it might be for you. It makes it so much easier if you stop telling yourself you're an avoidant and just say, okay, well, what am I doing right now? Oh, right, I'm experiencing avoiding this message. Let's just say you don't want to text someone back, okay, because I don't know, the fear of confrontation or the fear of having to tell someone how you really feel, whatever it might be. You're fearing texting them back for whatever reason, or you're going into avoidancy because it's easier to do that than to maybe potentially hurt someone's feelings, right? That's what you're doing. But if you tell yourself, oh, I'm such an avoidant, or it's just me being an avoidant, it is still a part of your identity. Whereas you could shift that and be like, okay, well, right now, what am I actually fearing? Like, what's underneath the avoidancy? What's underneath the anxiety? It's usually a fear of some sort, or you don't want to face something. So it's just about learning to create a different perspective and not think in such black or white terms. Like, that's genuinely how my relationship with food healed. It's not down to the food. Your relationship with food is never really about the food, which is funny enough. Yes, we use the food to help heal your relationship with food, but it's never really about it. It's about how you view yourself. It's about the boundaries you have. It's about whether you self-abandon on a day-to-day basis. It's about whether you people please. It's about so much more than just the food. And it all comes down to usually your nervous system, your ability to emotionally regulate, and your mindset. If you can work on those three things, you can do anything. And I truly believe that you can heal anything. You can be the best version of yourself. You can come out of any identity. You can become whoever you want. But the less we attach to labels of like, I am good, I am this, stop saying I am this. It's more like, I am somebody who's experiencing this. So like, when I'm experiencing, let's just say I was like so down this week, and like for the first like Tuesday was just a write off. That was the day Chili died. But Wednesday and Thursday, I just woke up and I didn't want to do a thing. I was waking up with no drive, usually I'm out in the morning, I want to go on a run, I want to exercise. I didn't want to do any of it. But did I attach to this and be like, okay, it must mean that I am this? No, because if I had have done that, it would have kept me trapped in that. And then I would have, my thoughts would have followed suit, but then my actions would have followed suit. Remember, your thoughts create your actions. And if you don't have enough space between thought and action, this comes into everything. So if you're constantly just quick, acting on every thought that comes into your mind, or believing every thought that comes into your mind, it usually is a sign that you don't have enough space between thought and action to actually question these things. So then all of a sudden you're wondering why you spent all day either rotting in bed or not doing anything for yourself, or, you know, saying that you're going to do something and then you don't end up doing it, and you're constantly doing that every single day. It's because your thoughts are usually like you're probably attaching to some idea about yourself that your thoughts are then bombarding you with. Like, let's just say if you were saying I'm a lazy person because I don't get up at 6 a.m. if you constantly tell yourself you're a lazy person, your thoughts are going to come in and be like, you are a lazy person. Or they're going to be scanning your environment to show you that you're a lazy person. So whether that's like, you didn't do X, Y, and Z today, oh, it must mean you're a lazy person. That's what your mind is going to sound like. But then because your thoughts are like that, your actions are only ever going to follow suit. So this is why it's so important to, number one, know how to challenge your thoughts, but number two, know how to obviously have a perspective change. Because if you can't come out of these labels, if you can't stop attaching things to yourself and to your behaviors and to your actions on a day-to-day basis, you're always gonna come back to this black or white thinking, like, I'm either good or I'm bad. There's always a gray area to be found, and there's always a place that doesn't need, I suppose that's what balance does for you, but doesn't need a label. It just is what it is. So like for me now, I'm so far removed from body image and relationship with food and struggling with those two things, because it's not that I don't have bad body image days, but yesterday, actually, great example, I had like a pure bitch fit before I went out. I just felt so ugly, and I actually checked because my period was due, and it's actually due in a day, so automatically I already knew that that's what I was feeling. I was just feeling the emotions of the period. I was just feeling like I didn't feel great in myself. I was struggling with my body image. Anything I tried on didn't feel great, and also I was recognizing that I just didn't, like, my body image just felt a lot more bloated. But I didn't like walk away from that situation being like, oh, I must be back to square one now with my body image. It must mean that I, you know, I'm not fully healed. It's like having this black or white thinking that you're, if you heal your relationship with food or your body image, that you're never going to have thought. It's having the trust in yourself to know, just because I experienced that last night, I just brushed it off. I went out, you know, I experienced my night, I brushed it off. I didn't carry it in today, only for now that I'm talking about it. But I didn't do anything with that. It just is what it is. It didn't become a massive deal to me. Whereas some people might start saying to themselves like, oh my God, you're not healed, or like, I thought we've worked on this, and da 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 da, and I can't believe you're not over this and all of this stuff. And they'll make themselves feel bad about it, when in reality these things don't need labels. You're just something that you experience as a human being. So that's like the best way to come out of the black or white thinking or attaching labels to yourself, is to be able to question your thoughts. So catching your thoughts, challenging them then, and, you know, looking for, like, is there, like, a lot of times we say things about ourselves or we attach things to ourselves. Like, let's just say if it's the overeating example, and you're like saying to yourself, okay, oh well, maybe I haven't healed my relationship with food, or maybe I'm back to square one. Like, where's the physical evidence for that? Because you have evidence now. Let's just say when I'm talking to my clients, I'm like, okay, but the last couple of weeks, you have all of the evidence that your relationship with food is in a good place. You haven't been binging, you haven't really been overeating, you know, you've been in a good place. So does that mean that you're back to square one? No. Does that mean that your relationship with food isn't healed? No. It just means that you're a human being at the end of the day, and unfortunately you can't fucking be perfect all the time. And even for me, I overeat, and my relationship with food is healed now years. So just because I would say I'm healed doesn't mean that I don't struggle like everybody else. So it's just learning to catch your thoughts, challenge them, and then change them. So look for evidence. Like, the evidence, there's usually never any evidence to support the things that we're believing about ourselves on a day-to-day basis. Like, if you tell yourself I'm a bad friend, okay, where is the physical evidence for that? It's just about not attaching so quickly to things. Of course, certain times maybe labels are beneficial, but I do find a lot of the times they're not. They just keep us trapped in an identity. It stops you from fully trusting yourself. When you attach to a label, you just give your power away to that, of like, oh no, it must mean it's truth because this is what the label says. This is what it says I am. Whereas when you come in with being like, oh well, is that actually truth, Kira? What makes that true? Who said that? Yeah, and I just want you to know that this can go for absolutely anything in your life, whether it's you attaching to a certain label in your career, or the type of person you believe, or the type of attachment you have. All of these things can be changed, and I really just want you to know that whatever you believe about yourself, and especially if it's something that keeps you feeling stuck or limiting or degrading or negative, you can change. You don't have to stay in a specific identity. And I know for me, like even the last while, now that I'm speaking about it, it's quite funny because I have felt maybe quite stuck, even though I wanted to branch into other things within social media and share more of my own life, and I'm rediscovering me at the moment, and there's just other things that I'm going through personally with trying to overcome. I mentioned this on my Instagram story, but like the fear of being seen and stepping outside my comfort zone a little bit more, and just so many different things that I'm trying to, yeah, I'm trying to branch out a little bit more. But I know even me attaching to the niche of, oh, I am this person, like I'm the coach who works on relationship with food, it can make me feel sometimes stuck if I ever want to branch into anything else, or if I ever want to post different content. It's like, oh, why are you posting that because you're a relationship with food coach? So it comes in, it even still happens within my mind, and that's something that it's the reason I'm recording this podcast, because it's something that I'm actually trying to challenge at the moment within my own business and within my own life, to not, like, I don't have all or nothing thinking with regards to my body image or my food, but it's still coming true in other areas of my life. Specifically, let's just say with business and social media and what I believe about who I am on social media and what I think I should post or can post, when in reality, at the end of the day, it's my life, it's my page, I can do whatever I want, I can post, I could just get up and start dancing tomorrow if I want, I can do whatever I want. But we limit ourselves because we put these labels and identities on ourselves, and it just, sometimes I know when I'm trying to make a shift, which is what I'm trying to do now, is it makes me feel stuck. So if you're somebody who's feeling a bit stuck, or you're feeling like you're stuck in a specific identity, I just want you to know that, like, write out all of the labels, write out everything you attach to yourself or what you believe about yourself, and just know that you can change all of them. They all link in together, like in terms of your thoughts, your actions, your limiting beliefs. Like, it all comes back to, again, the labels that you have about yourself and just what you believe about yourself. So yeah, I just want to empower you to know, even if it's just one person on here who relates to what I'm saying, I just want you to know that you can 100% change it. But I'm so excited to hear your thoughts on this. I would love any feedback. If anybody needs any help with anything in terms of this episode, please do just drop me a message on Instagram. I would love to hear from you.